Hello, and welcome to this episode of Livable Launch, where we dive deep into the dynamics of the housing market with insightful conversations. I'm your host, Matthew Slutsky, and I'm thrilled to be talking with Pauline Learman, an accomplished housing market specialist and analyst from Zonda's Zonda Urban team. With over 20 years of experience in the GTA, Pauline brings a wealth of knowledge and strategic insight into new residential developments, making her a go-to commentator on market trends. So without further ado, let's peel back the layers of the housing market together. Hey, Pauline, welcome to Livable Launch.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to see you. Great to see you in your new office. Really excited about everything going on right now with Zonda Urban. You guys seem to be expanding across really cool markets in Ontario and Canada.
We have been busy. We've recently expanded across to Halifax to the east side, but in Ontario, we've actually opened up in London, KW Guelph Access, and St. Catharines, Niagara. So yeah, we've been busy.
Well, that's great, because I think I want to talk a lot about those areas. I mean, you've got the downtown market, which from the time I launched, you know, in 2008, 2009, was like the center of the world for new construction, and it seems that people are starting to move outside the market. In fact, I just heard that there has been another lineup for a sales center. Like, people are starting to line up again, and I mean, this market is wild. Are people lining up again? Is the lineup back?
Lineups are not dead. We had lineups yesterday, in fact. My analysts were out on the road and understand that there was lineups for a launch, mainly a mix of single detached semis and townhouses up in Oakville. But North Oakville area has been one hot market for the last several years. So they were out, and I understand most of the larger products all gone.
Wow. Well, great to hear that. No doubt. I mean, starting to see some shifts in the market. I don't know how much or to what extent, but nice to see some positive signs.
Baby steps.
I mean, that is definitely a word on the street, but what else are you hearing right now? What's going on in the market? What are you hearing? What's the word on the street?
A word on the street is prep. So unlike other years where we came out of the gate gangbusters, like 2022, it's very quiet. Market brought a lot of condo product to the market in late 23. And now we're actually finding that they're having to work through their inventory. So there's a comfort level of finding just when they feel things are going to take off. I think everybody's hedging on that first rate cut and where it's going to be. And I think that, you know, if a 1-2 punch rate cut could really turn this market into, you know, back onto itself going.
I agree. I think a lot of people are waiting for this rate cut. I don't know how much of a difference it will actually make other than like a mental break from these raises.
It's all confidence is what it comes down to, right?
Other words on the street, I think Freed just launched his new Freed Hotel.
Yes.
Murakami was in for it. I mean, it looks like an incredible project. Everybody was
on Instagram on the weekend, by the way.
Other than me.
Yes. Well, I was. you've had those lineups yesterday, and then on the weekend you had a very downtown, typical marquee project start to introduce itself coming to the market. That's almost like a normalization of what, you know, the market has been over the last couple of years. There was that kind of scene that you hadn't seen in a while. So,
yeah, I'm jealous. Again, I wasn't invited, so I wasn't either on Instagram posting about it, but it looked amazing. I think that's a very unique project. Do you know what the price per square foot is going to be at that project? And what's price per square foot looking like now? And how does that compare to the previous years? I guess let's start with kind of, I guess, what you know and the Greater Toronto Hamilton area.
Well, my guess for that project is probably around $2,000 per square foot.
That's what I'm hearing too.
I would think it's got to be somewhere with the level that they're asking. It's got to put itself somewhere near Forma. You know, that's kind of the benchmark in that area. My idea for pricing's actually been what I would call the average in the GTHA sold is about $1,133 per square foot for Q4. It's up 2%. So price growth has stalled. Part of that's not just because people are holding the line. It's also because of the type of product that came out last year. So a lot of product that came out in Milton and Hamilton, you know, 1100 to 1200 max. That's where you're seeing out in the kind of the burbs in there. Also including in some cases parking in there, which makes a big difference on your bottom line. In Toronto, that 1600 to 1700 is still the same. We had one launch that came out just around 1700. If you're punching over that, you're probably not going to get a lot of traction. then they're really kind of having to hold the line on that. We had one project that, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit with you, but you know, one project that kind of rebrought itself recently to the market and dropped $100 per square foot. So people are starting to kind of think about where that price point is, and looking for value. So overall.
Okay, so that's price per square foot, kind of the urban, kind of outer urban. What new projects are actually launching? Like, what are you seeing launching now? Is anything really, other than this project with Lineups and Freed Hotel and Condo, is anything?
I have three so far. Okay. So three so far at about 466 units versus 2,900 a year ago. So it's a big drop.
You're talking about 2,900. That's
last year we had 2,900 at this time.
Yeah, this time.
Okay. Open. And this year we have under 500. So I mean, this is shocking the market here. I would say it's pretty standard mix. Milton, Oakville, North Richmond Hill. That's what we've had launched. And then a baby high-end project in Midtown Toronto.
Which project is that?
I believe that's one. It's One Roxborough.
Oh, Roxborough. Yeah, yeah.
One Roxborough.
I love High that North location. Yeah. Great builder, great location. And do you know what they're launching at a square foot? Do you know what they came at it?
That one we're still working on.
Okay. So. And what do you find people are most excited for right now? I mean, you talked about, you know, a lot of different areas outside Toronto. You talked about one project in the city. Again, there's the Freed Condo Hotel and Residence. Like, what are people really excited? It used to be this insane kind of FOMO excitement about projects launching, whereas now I feel it's kind of leveled out and people are kind of excited for, like, actually livable space. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a specific building that I would say stands out. I just kind of gauge what's going on in the market, people are, what they're pushing and what seems to be trying to build buzz. I would say, you know, like 101 Spadina's out there that could be opening soon. They seem to be building kind of a cred on that front. The one I'm watching the most is, and I am a big proponent of the area, is if Pier 8 comes to the market sometime this year, in downtown Hamilton on the waterfront. And I think that's a game changer.
Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yeah, it's a little bit of 40 stories.
Builder?
It is Fernbrook, citizen. Urban lifestyle.
I feel like there's only two people in the world that I could just grill like this. You and Ryan McGovern on my team. Like, I could just like name an address. I'll be like, well, that's actually by this developer and this number. I mean, it's incredible depth of knowledge on every parcel of land. It's pretty incredible.
I'd actually like to see my personal friend is we're start to see not just Tridal's come out, but the other developers that are involved with the Lakeview project in Mississauga as well, and starting to see some of that come together.
Yeah, for people who don't know, I mean, that is a massive master planned community with, I don't even know how many, it's like 20,000 units or
something. It's got 6,000 to 8,000 units in that range. I have the number elsewhere. It's more, but it's also been going through a lot of flux because as planning rules have changed, they've gone back for more in density and shifted some of the towns into apartments. So it's kind of in that stage where the numbers could change any day. So.
And I should mention 101 Spadina you mentioned. I can just see from Livable's numbers, I mean, that project gets huge excitement. The amount of people checking out that project daily is through the roof.
So, and it's right near the well. So
another incredible project. Yeah. What makes a project unique now? What unique aspects do you feel projects have now that's actually driving the excitement around them?
Biggest thing is price. I can't code it either way. Value, proximity to transit, if they've got it. I mean, what Altree's got, the Club 285 at Glen Cairn coming up. That's a great location to have. Like, there's not been a lot of density there, and it's always been Marley's kind of like, was Marley the new Ossington?
That's what
one of our colleagues has been saying
that's
that.
My
yes,
line.
It's your line.
I invented that line. Marley's new Ossington.
Marley's new Ossington. So, yeah, that's going up. But price point ultimate, the end of day in value. As well as, you know, good solid amenity spaces, but not glamorous pools. I would say overall.
Okay, so amenity spaces. Yeah. Are you seeing any difference in amenity spaces over the last year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
Absolutely, but some of it's pandemic driven. It's that emphasis on having complementary and flexible spaces. So, you know, partitionable large party rooms you can use different ways, indoor outdoor complementary spaces, so you have an indoor co-working space, you might have an outdoor area, indoor kitchen, outdoor kitchen, indoor fitness area as you would expect, and an outdoor fitness area. All these spaces kind of blend together, as well as co-working space. So co-working space is a massive thing, but making it kind of cool, so you have breakout rooms, but you also have areas where you can work. Lobbies have gotten a little more interesting. They might have offshoot library areas where they can hang out, kind of that social space they're looking for. So,
no doubt that that outside amenity space, I think, is so much more important now. Yes. I know that, you know, I work from home, and I think I can go like weeks where I don't really leave my house. I'm like, well, I haven't been outside in a really long time here. So that that type of space, I can see why that would be so much more prevalent now.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned the pandemic, and I think a lot of people assume post-pandemic units have gotten a bit larger. That people want more space. They want to. Well, they're at home more. They might be working from home.
Well,
but from my understanding, that's not actually the case.
No, it's not actually the case. And this kind of goes into the extra amenity space and usage, though. The actual in the last year, and this is predicated on affordability largely, is the average new condo that's been launched is, or sold actually, is 15 square feet smaller than a year ago. Wow. Townhouses, same sort of deal. The spacing has gone down about 126 square feet. So think about that. That's like a mudroom, right? It means just you're compacting those spaces.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about 500 square feet.
Yeah.
I mean, 15%, that's a massive change.
To as I've talked to recently in other cases, I mean, the one standard one bedroom, you know, has slid progressively. And for a while there, it kind of hung between 500 and 525. Now we're actually seeing one bedrooms that are about 450. And, you know, if they're flex, they're well laid out, they can be efficient. But that's where we're seeing that. And two bedrooms that are 625. So this is where the market has gone at to bring that price point down lower.
I feel there was a huge change in technology probably around 2005 or so that allowed these one bedrooms to actually be smaller but more efficient. Whether it's, you know, if you think about the mm-hmm. power of a flat screen TV versus having to like have this huge console to have a, you know, this massive tube TV.
It's easier.
Yeah, refrigerators, all the appliances have kind of gotten better for condo life, which made what was once a 700 square foot unit actually livable at like 550 square feet. Are you seeing any changes to the actual space itself or technology that actually makes this 450 square foot unit more livable?
I think it's more streamlined in terms of, you know, not having bathtubs. You're going strictly into showers, you know, one bank, you know, kitchens. Like that, though I will fight back against the small fridge trend, please.
what about, I remember actually talking to you about this probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I think Minto stopped putting in ovens in some of their units.
That was in Niagara, I believe. But there's also, you know, obviously one project, Smart House, did like kind of like, what's the phrase I'm looking for? The convection type of oven, yep, microwave combination.
Are we still seeing that? Like, did that stick, or are builders back to putting full size ovens?
Well, they're buildings? All kind of, they're all, I think they're nicer is what I have to say. They're still smaller, but they're nicer. I think,
gotcha.
I think the quality has come up overall.
Switching a little bit, 2023, no doubt about it. It was a really tough year. How are builders moving inventory now? Like, you mentioned pricing. Is it just purely pricing play?
It's not just pricing. It's also flexibility in terms of down payments. So deposit structures are much more flexible. There are some places that are hedging on the condition of having, you know, easy rentability. But obviously, you know, as we all know, in the industry, if you're not familiar with it, a lot of the times these rental guarantees end up being like credits at closing. So it really is reducing your pricing overall.
Do you mind taking a step back and explaining to the listeners, like, what is a typical deposit structure, and what does it mean that it's being extended, and what are the credits?
Typical deposit structure is 20% down, stretched over maybe a year to a year and a half. That's a typical. These days, it's now stretched over. It's often small increments. Usually, it's been 5-5-5, like 5-5-5-5-5. Now it's like 5, 2.5, 2.5, 2.5.
So when you say 5, 5, 5 again, it's industry knows that.
Up. But 2.5%.
You're saying 5% in the first at signing. 5% at signing. 5%
180 days. 5% another 240 days. 5% maybe in a year, 365 days. That's a pretty more standard old school way. Now what we're seeing is you're still getting that 5% down, but then you're starting to see like a 2.5% in 300 days. And in some cases that 20% is extended out so that the max I've seen so far is 1,000 days.
Wow.
So that's, you know, almost 3 years, right? So.
And who, I guess the question is, who's actually utilizing that? And What does the average buyer look like right now? We have these new things where, you know, foreign buyers aren't allowed to buy right now. I think that's been extended.
Yeah.
Like, who? What does the actual purchaser look like? Is it still an investor? Is it an end user?
There still is investor out there. They're still driving the market. They're not suddenly all gone. There's definitely investors out there that are purchasing, but they're being very selective. And they're also being a little more different from what I've been told anecdotally is that, you know, you get the investor who's very well knowledgeable in downtown sites. And what you see now is they're maybe comparing, you know, apples to oranges is the actual comparison. Like, oh, well, why would I buy down here if I can buy between Whitby or Oakville? And they'll actually compare Whitby and Oakville because there's kind of that knowledge spread and they're looking at the pricing where their money's going to go.
Gotcha. And that's by location. What about townhouse versus condo? How are the sales of townhouses comparing to this?
Townhouses are coming up. Now, mind you, townhouses have been really, really subdued. So we had about 3,250 townhouse sales last year. That was up 38% from a year before. And a lot of it's feeding that supply. But what we've found is in our market and as well as in Ottawa is that there's been a lot more releases. And this is where the smaller units have come to play. You'll get mixed, like, you know, maybe like a Mattamy or another one. They'll have a mix of type of ones. They'll have rear lane smaller ones. They might have a stacked product. And they're offering that kind of blended type of community that seems to be going over well. So they've been able to do volume.
We talk about volume now. Let's talk about volume on kind of a meta level. Usually there's there's usually about 25,000 new condo sales in a year.
But fair estimate.
But it ranges. I think you mentioned previously we were chatting like 22,000 to 35,000.
Yes.
35 was kind of the top.
And if you really want to get old school, it used to be 15,000 for many years.
But that was on the high rise. But it was made up.
Old school.
But that was also made up by more low rise, right?
No, that was more high rise at the time, condos. But you're talking pre-2017, like pre-Zonda Urban, but you know, we've peaked out. Like, I mean, the first year we tracked for 2021, it was about 33,000 units. And then we were kind of trending in that 23 to 25,000 for a bit.
Oh, the big question, I don't know if you've got your numbers finalized yet, but what was 2023?
2023 was about 11,700.
Wow. So you could, you know, obvious.
Not great.
Not great. You've already mentioned so far this year, there's been like 500 units versus 5,000 units. What's the, I made up that. I don't remember your exact numbers.
Actually, that's pretty about right. It asked actually every single, I will say from a Zonda Urban's perspective, our conversations amongst all our different teams across Canada, it's almost the exact same way. So I was looking at the Vancouver launches, talked to the Calgary team, and they've all got like the same number, like 400, 450. And these are the type of units that have come to the market so far in the first couple months.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same kind of boat.
So is that, I don't want to put you on the spot, but predictions for 2024, like, are you expecting this to continue and like we're going to have like another like 10,000 a year? Or are we going to have more?
I think we're going to have 18,000 multi, which is the apartment and townhouse together, which is up. We were about 15,000 this year, but it's banking on a kind of a tough first half. Obviously, it's quiet now, and a stronger second half.
That also pulls back to what you were saying early on. It's like everyone's talking prep right now. Like,
right.
Everybody, nobody is fully committing to a launch. They're prepping for this.
I've been told April, late May. And then, I mean, the last couple, it was the pandemic. So we had some funky years going on here. And I'll say funky is the great word for it. But if the rate cuts came, we might have that kind of another year where we have like a very abnormal summer. Usually people go on vacation in summer in the industry. And maybe they won't be this year because they'll be opening projects.
Okay. So that brings me back to kind of forward, saying that by 2031, we're going to build 1.5 million new homes or something along those lines. Last year, we sold 11,000, which will come kind of
to won't be delivered before 2027.
Yeah, that will be around. And then this year, 18,000. Where are we going to make this 1.5 million? Is there any way to actually get to that number?
Well, Lego sets, maybe. It's a very ambitious, very tough number to get to, and unless some things change on labor and, you know, technology, I can't see us meeting that number. We're in a what I would call a mirage right now. We have a high number of deliverables. We had between condos and rental, it was 33,000 apartments that went into occupancy last year, which is a high.
Okay, so again, just for anybody listening, we're saying There wasn't many sales last year, but sales you don't actually...
People are finishing older sales.
Exactly. So yeah. There's 33,000 closings yes. last year.
And 5,200 already in the first 2 months of the year. So this year, 2024, into the first half of 2025, we're going to deliver a lot of the units that sold back anywhere from 2018 all the way up to 2022. Those units are being delivered now. But anything that comes out now, and I've seen this in marketing, is not going to be done really. I mean, 2027 is a happy thought. But really, you know, we're seeing marketing that says we're not going to be closing before 2028. And big buildings that you know are complex in the city of Toronto, they're going to take 5 years to finish. So 2030 at this point is where you're looking at. So our date for 1.5 homes is 2031. If we're going to have like a dearth of units that are not going to be out being delivered after the middle of 2025 into 2026, 2027, we're not going to see a lot of units come to the market. So how are we going to meet that goal?
Just one thing to make clear, what we're talking about right now is high-rise
right.
apartments. But low-rise, these numbers that we're talking about are not the low-rise numbers.
No.
So that does add on to the total number
absolutely.
Of new homes.
Absolutely. But low-rise, I'd say, if we're talking last year, you know, we had a high, quote-unquote, for townhouses. And you got to figure there's far less single detached coming out than there are townhouses. That, you know, given the affordability prospect, you're giving 3,200 last year. And, you know, they'll be delivered within 2 years. You're not going to come up. They're going to make, you know, townhouses and single foot detached should start to take a larger share.
Right.
And they're not really doing that at all.
What about when it comes to building construction costs? Do you monitor construction costs at all? And what do you see?
We kind of keep the loose end of it. We don't track directly in our offices, but we do, you know, talk to people that are actually doing the costing, the performance on these projects. There's definitely been some cost savings that have come up in excavation. You know, kind of those first stages in the labor and kind of coming up. Because you figure these guys, starts have slowed. We had, you know, 2,000 starts last quarter. We had 11,000 a year ago and in one quarter, which was a record. But, you know, the consistency was 4,000 to 5,000 starts every quarter. That's, we're half that, if not under now for Q1. So what happened is we do track by construction stages onto urban. And looking at everything right now, the biggest thing we saw jump was interior finishing because of deliverables, but excavation has dropped by 60% in the last year.
Wow.
So those first stages, those people, those firms and companies that are involved in those early stages, there's definitely some softness in the cost there.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird time right now, yeah. I guess, to be a builder. If you look at, we were just talking to Jeremiah last week.
And he would know. He knows.
But we didn't get into the construction cost, but we talked about just the value of land. I mean, if you were sitting on, bought land even a year ago versus today, I mean, it's a different world. And then add on these variables in construction, like a swing of 60% on estimation.
Yeah, and this is why townhouses have actually improved too, because they actually are, when you're putting, not doing a 400 unit building, it's a lot easier to take your price point down, right? So anywhere from, you know, I'm talking about Ottawa, but I'm also talking about Toronto, you know, like I've seen unit costs since the summer come down 60, 70,000 because they're adjusting their price points on these. So they're a little more nimble is what I call it. So.
And in the last four, how many closings did you say happened in the last, do you say in the last 4 months or were you saying in all of 2023?
All of 2023 was about 27,000 and change condo apartments, plus about an additional 6,000 in rental apartments, which is dedicated purpose-built rental. In the first 2 months of this year, so far, just condo apartments, 5,200.
So if you're looking at the 2,700 plus the apartments plus from this year,
yeah,
are we starting to see change? Do you think that's affecting rental rates? Like that's a absolutely. Big amount, a high amount of
absolutely.
Units coming on the market.
And two things about it too. We're off season. So when you come into the midpoint of the year, the beginning of the year, this is not when people are moving. The premium rental quarter is when students are moving and everybody's moving and it's Q3 and it's September. So that's where you usually peak out always. So now we're actually delivering a high number of units. Like put it this way, I talked about that 1,500. We had 9,950 in Q4. Putting those together, we had almost 15,000 units within a 5 month span. That was what we were doing for 1 year, 2 years ago.
Wow.
So that you can't not feel that. You're going to feel that in not just the overall, a little bit of an easy break in the rental rates. They are coming down slightly, or you're also going to have choice. So if you have buildings nearby that are finishing each other, you have a little bit of competition going on.
Now, the flip side of that, current launches.
Yes.
You know, I feel like me and you used to always have like a chart of like what's canceling. That was like our cancel chart, which I think disappeared for a while. Are cancellation, there's always been cancellations. Do you feel there are more cancellations now?
No.
Same amount as always.
Because anybody who, I would say same amount. We had about 500 units cancel in Q4 directly. A couple projects that have been out for a while that have come off the market. We had two that kind of were shelved. I wouldn't say they're canceled. They're just recalibrating. One's already come back at a reprice stage, which I haven't got the numbers done yet, but we're working on it. Typically what happens in the market like this is everybody just holds back. Or they just
in prep stage.
They don't come. Yep. They don't come to the market. That's yep. it, right? So
yeah, and I would agree. I mean, project that's taken off the market and relaunch it, unless they had sales originally, I don't really consider it a cancellation. Unless no, they're actually not like giving their deposits back and canceling.
And you also got to figure we're at a stage where a lot of projects put on themselves on hold and they left like 50 units because they're going to gain on pricing gains, right?
Right.
So we had a lot of that going on before the market kind of slowed.
We talked a lot about Toronto, Hamilton, the greater Toronto and Hamilton area.
Yes.
Where people are buying, where people are moving. What about the far out cities? So if you look at, I know Zonda Urban Tracks, Calgary and Ottawa. I know a lot of people, or even in our own company, who have moved from Toronto to Calgary.
Yes.
It just makes financial sense. What are you seeing? Is there an exodus from Toronto to Calgary and Ottawa?
Yeah, there is. There's both. In Calgary, it's been an interesting one. My colleague in my office does track that quite intensively. But what I've noticed from the marketing side is just the sheer bombardment of getting stuff from brokerages, proponing, and product that's not just townhouses, but, like ground related, because it's expensive out there. You can get a unit for like $300,000 under, right? Yeah. So, but also like rental units and condo apartments. Like one of the biggest launches was like a apartment building down in Calgary, downtown Calgary, that they brokerages have been pushing through Toronto.
Yeah.
And as you and I well know, talk about that comes down to a couple of key brokers that are working out there as well that have banked on that exodus.
It's a nice niche to be in.
Nice. Very nice.
All right. Any parting words, any last words, anything that I forgot to ask you about that you're like, oh, there's this one project Matt hasn't asked me about.
Oh man. I don't think so. I would just say that, whenever the market stalls, there's always been a pretty good recalibration on our industry. And I think that, reports of its death or demise are very, very not on. I'm trying to look the right word for that. Getting ahead of itself.
So awesome.
We are there.
Well, Pauline, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your candor and great wisdom on the market.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning into Livable Launch, your go-to podcast for all things condo and new home launches. We hope today's episode has given you valuable insights into the exciting world of real estate development and the minds behind these remarkable projects. We're incredibly grateful to our esteemed guests and our dedicated listeners like you who continue to make this podcast a success. Remember, Livable Launch is here to keep you informed, inspired, and engaged with the ever-evolving landscape of condo and new home developments. We value your feedback and want to ensure that Livable Launch remains your trusted source of information, so don't hesitate to reach out. Remember, we're all in this exciting journey together. If you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with us on our website or social media platforms. And if you're a builder industry expert who wants to share your expertise and be featured on our show, please get in touch. We'd love to hear about your latest project launches and insights. Thank you again for joining us on Livable Launch. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with the latest condo and new home launches, trends, and insider knowledge. Until next time, keep building, dreaming, and exploring the world of real estate. Remember, Livable Launch is here to guide you for every step of the way. I'm Matthew Slutsky, and this is Livable Launch signing off. Happy building, and see you soon.